Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? I want to thank the members of the media for joining us today. I want to give you an update on the protest activity that the city experienced last night. In a moment, I'm going to go to Police Commissioner Byron Lockwood for a policing update. I am here with Police Commissioner Byron Lockwood, Commissioner Lockwood's Chief of Staff, Captain Jeffrey Rinaldo. I want to say to the community that our goal, our intent, as people express their pain and frustration, is to do everything that we can to keep the people of this community safe, to keep the businesses of this community safe. That is our intent. We respect the right to peacefully protest, but for those opportunists, for those outside agitators, for people who want to loot, want to steal, want to vandalize, want to damage, there is no place for that in our community. I am calling on all of the good people in the City of Good Neighbors to reject that kind of behavior. We know that people are in pain. We know people are hurting. But what some of the individuals are doing by rioting, by stealing, by looting, by vandalizing is dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, dishonoring the memory of Eric Garner, of Ahmaud Arbery, of Freddie Gray, and all of the black men and people that have been injured or killed by rogue police officers. And I know for many of you, this is beyond police brutality. This is about racial injustice and inequity. But we have to come together right now as a community. Let your voices be heard. Let your pens write on paper. Let your proposals be read. Let your grievances be aired, but let's do it peacefully. Now I am going to call on Police Commissioner Byron Lockwood to provide an update on policing issues that were experienced in the city last night.
Good morning. Yesterday it started off as a peaceful rally downtown in Niagara Square. And I get it. You know, I get when people want to come out and protest about things that's happening here in the city of Buffalo, even with the Buffalo Police Department. But as they moved on through the city, we let them express their voices. We let them be heard. And as they moved on, they moved on into they went from downtown up until Ferry Street, Ferry and Fillmore, where our Charlie District is, C District. They stopped there, and they, you know, voiced their opinion, and they moved on down Ferry Street up to Bailey, and from Bailey they went down to the Edward District. From there, it was very peaceful. They expressed their, they expressed their complaints. And the officers and them, it was no problem. But then eventually, as they gathered there at E District, there was people from the neighborhood that gathered in with them. And the people that came there for, you know, reason to express themselves peacefully, the people from the neighborhood and from some people from outside decided that was the opportunity to start, you know, throwing rocks and, you know, destroying property. We had a police vehicle damaged, and we also had to, during that period of time, we had to make six arrests at that time. during that time, there was three officers injured, and there was also a young lady that was also injured. I know it was a young lady and a young gentleman also injured during that time too. So I myself, I have always been against police brutality. If you go back and look at my record as a Buffalo police officer, 20 years ago, I stood out there in front of City Hall about incidents that was happening in the Buffalo Police Department. When I became commissioner of the Buffalo Police Department, I take these issues very seriously. and I understand some of the people, their protests out there about the things that's happening, not only here, but around the country. But we have to do it in a peaceful way, though. We can't continue to go out and let people, you know, take your message and turn it into, you know, violence and destroying property. So, you know, I want to, you know, people to continue to express their, you know, their, you know, express their opinions, and I'm here, you know, to hear them. I will, you know, sit down and I will meet with these folks if they would want to meet with me and talk about some of the things that's with the Buffalo Police Department. I can't speak on things that happen in other cities that's happening around the other cities, but here at Buffalo Police Department, I can, you know, speak with them on those issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. The protest yesterday was called by members of the community. Those members of the community set a start time for the protest, and they set an end time for the protest, which the Buffalo Police Department was informed of. That peaceful protest was ended by the organizers at a certain time. The people that stayed after were not part of the peaceful protest. The people that stayed after were there for other reasons. They were not there out of concern and pain and anger about what happened to George Floyd. They were not there to address issues of racial injustice or police brutality. For some people, it was a cover to loot, to vandalize, to throw rocks, to try to injure. We cannot allow that to happen. To protect the residents of this community, I am imposing a curfew starting at 8 p.m. this evening until 5 a.m. in the morning, going through and including Sunday of this week. So starting tonight in the city of Buffalo, to protect our residents, to protect our businesses, and to protect peaceful protesters exercising their freedom of speech rights, we will be implementing a curfew starting at 8 p.m., going through 5 a.m., and through and including Sunday. With that, I'm going to open up to the questions that the members of the media have.
Essential employees.
Let me just clarify that essential employees will not be impacted by that. We know that essential employees need to get to work, need to report to work, and they will not be impacted by the curfew.
There was a curfew last night, Mayor. Do you regret that decision? And what additional steps are going to be taken to ensure safety on the streets beyond the curfew?
No, I don't regret the decision. We made a decision to work with the community, to trust the community. This is a difficult time for everyone. We've been dealing with a global health pandemic where people have been in their homes for a long period of time. We're dealing with national unrest and people protesting in communities all across this country. We did not want to impose a curfew. We saw a great peace on Sunday. We saw a tremendous response, people coming out to clean up, to help other people. So we made a conscious decision not to impose a curfew yesterday. I have been called by a number of people in the community. I've been called by Black parents, by white parents, by Hispanic parents who say that their children are scared right now. I want the members of the community to hear what I am saying. Children in our community of all backgrounds are scared. They're frightened by what's happening right now. So we are going to do everything in our power to protect our residents, to protect our businesses, and to protect this community.
Does that include the National Guard?
It does not include the National Guard. Governor Cuomo has provided us with state police resources. There is a significant presence of state police that are in the community right now. We thank the New York State Police for the work that they're doing in our community, and we thank Governor Cuomo and his office for being in constant communication with me and County Executive Mark Poloncarz.
Commissioner, who is the driver, and do they face charges at this point?
Can you repeat that?
I'm sorry. Who is the driver, and do they face charges at this point?
I don't have the name of the driver, and as far as that, the charges, I don't have, I don't know if they're going to be charged yet or not.
Are they a City of Buffalo resident?
That I don't know.
Could this be a hate crime?
That I don't know. I don't know. It's still being investigated as of right now.
Can you help us understand, leading up to that moment, the police did move forward and move in. And can you help us understand what was going on?
As far as when the police were moving on, you said?
The police were moving in,
right,
on some demonstrators,
mm-hmm,
before the car came through and hit the officers. Can you tell me, the reason I'm asking, commissioners, often we see video, right? And the first criticism we hear is, you didn't see what happened before that. So help us understand. At one point, shortly before that car came through, the officers moved forward to disperse people. What was going on first that led them to that decision?
Well, I know before that happened, they were moving them back from the precinct. As you know, the precinct was down the street, and there was being peppered with rocks and stuff. So they were moving them at that time from in front of the precinct. They were told maybe a half an hour ago that they would have to move after they, you know, was protesting quietly and stuff. But after that, they went, and the people that hung around was the ones who were agitating and throwing the rocks at the police officers. So what probably happened is some of the people that was there for a good reason to protest got caught up with the people that was throwing rocks at the police officers.
So Commissioner, specifically to his question, about 30 seconds before the SUV came, there's video you know, our station was interviewing someone with his hands up, and police pretty much rushed him from behind and tackled him. He was being interviewed with his hands up. And I know there's split-second decisions that have to be made by police, but can you help us understand why somebody with their hands up being interviewed would be rushed from, tackled from behind by police?
Well, that we will have to look at, because I, you know, as you're saying, we saw from the video that the police rushed him. That's something that we would have to look at to figure out why that they rushed him. I don't want to stand up here and say the reason why right now I don't know the reason why.
And one follow-up, a TV crew was hit by rubber bullets, apparently. What would be the reason that even media would be the target of rubber bullets? Is it a matter of where the media should be? Because I know of another TV crew that was hit by rubber bullets and apparently targeted by police with rubber bullets.
Okay, I'm going to let Captain Rinaldo speak on that piece right there, because he know more about your reporter being hit.
Thank you. So I did receive some phone calls this morning from various media outlets that a couple of different media members were struck with. It was not rubber bullets. Officers, both state police as well as Buffalo PD, were deploying pepper ball rounds, and a lot of those rounds are inert, so they actually are just nothing more than a paintball. Unfortunately, when these situations unfold and you start getting into a situation where police are dispersing a crowd, it's dark. You can't tell who's who. Commands are given for people to exit, leave the area. People that don't, you have to disperse those people. Unfortunately, again, at night, it's very difficult. Media members are not uniformed. It's very, very difficult to try and ascertain who's media, who's not. There is no clear definition sometimes. So again, we try as hard as we can to make sure that members of the media have access to these events. But when situations like this unfold, when we're trying to disperse large crowds, there is the potential for media members to become part of the situation. You know, we just ask that, and media is covering it. We think it's important that they cover it. We think it's important to get the community's perspective. We also think it's important to show our response to these situations. You know, we pride ourselves on our professionalism and how we deal with these situations, and we're still proud as I stand here today. But again, when situations like this unfold, I think it's important that the media respect what the police have to do and they remove themselves from those situations. That's in the interest of safety for everybody.
All right, where did this car come from and what was going on?
So the New York State Police are leading the investigation into the incident, not only the striking of our officer, but also the striking of their officer, who sustained more serious injuries than our officer. So first off, let me say our thoughts and prayers are with the New York State Police today for the injuries the officer sustained. It's our understanding that he will be okay. Our officer sustained injuries as well. He will also be okay, as well as a third state trooper who did receive injuries. As our officers, in conjunction with the New York State Police, were clearing out the E District area, we then had to move on to the gas station parking lot, both next to and across the street from the station house. As we started to move the crowd would move and then regather. Decision was made to take over Bailey Avenue and continue to push the crowd south and north on Bailey to disperse. While officers were conducting that operation, there was about 30 people in the street south on Bailey, probably 10 to 15 feet in front of the police line. It was at that point that officers did disperse one round of tear gas in an attempt to move that crowd. And somewhere prior to the tear gas being launched and it becoming effective, the vehicle just drove into the police line. At that point, New York State Police did open fire on that vehicle as it was striking the officers. Thankfully, the Erie County Sheriff's Department had Air One in the air. The helicopter was able to track that vehicle. Buffalo Police gave pursuit. The vehicle was stopped near the 33, and three people were taken in custody. As of this morning, it's my understanding that two of the male occupants of the vehicle have been arrested by the state police and charged with possession of stolen property, as well as criminal possession of a loaded firearm that was recovered from the vehicle. The driver of the vehicle, a female who was shot, is currently detained and still at ECMC, expected to survive. I know there's going to be questions as far as who shot her. That is still under investigation. There's conflicting stories as to whether she was shot just prior to the incident, meaning the gun that was recovered in the car, did that come into play, or by New York State Police. The Bureau of Criminal Investigations from New York State Police arrived on scene last night at approximately 11 p.m. They've been working through the night as well as all day today, reviewing an unbelievable amount of video surveillance that was recovered. A lot of the incident was being streamed live on Facebook, so there's a lot of video to go over and obviously a lot of forensics now to determine exactly what happened. No, one person sustained what was possibly a graze wound. Still waiting on confirmation on whether or not the wound that person sustained was a graze. I believe it took a Band-Aid to remediate that situation. The female in the vehicle was shot, I believe, at least twice.
So just to clarify, what we're still trying to sort out, one of the things, is if that woman had been shot, well, you know, they were rushing to the hospital, or she was shot after.
As are we, at this point, as are we.
So you're still trying to piece together whether or not that was targeted to rush through police or if it was some other reason that they were rushing through there?
Correct. Clearly, motive will be a very large factor in determining the appropriate charges, and that's what I spoke to Major Hall this morning. That's what the state police are working through now to determine exactly what the circumstances were that led up to that vehicle being driven into the crowd.
Was the driver drunk?
I don't know that.
Are they from the city?
Honestly, I don't even have the addresses of the three people in the car.
Captain, we keep on hearing the term outside agitators coming in. What evidence does the city of Buffalo have that it is outsiders that are causing all the rioting, getting people riled up to do these things?
You know, I can say that yesterday we saw people from the city that were engaged in the demonstration that started in Niagara Square. We saw familiar faces. We saw known members of our community who take strong positions and very peacefully assemble, as they have many times in the past. As this demonstration began to progress through the city, we saw more and more people from neighborhoods coming into the situation. So I cannot stand here today and tell you that it was outside people that were responsible for officers being struck last night or bottles and rocks being thrown. We think, as we've said, you know, consistently now, unfortunately, for 3 days, that when you have large crowds assembled, it's very easy for somebody in the crowd to agitate a situation, and it starts the mob mentality. So I cannot, as I said, tell you definitively that yesterday's violence was caused by people from outside of the city. I can just tell you that it's been a continuation of what we've seen not only locally but nationally in terms of people that attend these events. Your best intention is to start a peaceful demonstration, a peaceful protest. What those organizers cannot control is who shows up to those events and what their intentions may or may not be. And unfortunately, we saw it Saturday. Thankfully, we didn't see it Sunday. We did see it yesterday that some people that do attend these events have other intentions.
Those organizers are planning on doing this every day in terms of the people who organized the original protest, who want to do it every day, they said. How are you going to address that?
Let me address that, Chair. Sure.
So our recommendation is that people not try to protest every day. There is a real danger to the community, to the protesters, particularly as protests try to stretch into darkness, of other things taking hold, of looting, of people trying to set fires, of vandalism, of store owners who live in the community trying to protect their property. Some store owners who are licensed gun owners trying to protect the property that they've worked for. I am recommending to people that they have to use their heads right now. There is a lot of heat. There is a lot of passion. There is a lot of frustration. There are a lot of things that are frustrating people. There's a lot of fear out there. Protest with a purpose and peacefully. If you don't have a purpose to protest, if you don't have the message to protest with, stay home. And so to protect our community, our businesses, our residents, we are imposing a curfew. I'm imposing a curfew starting at 8 p.m. at night, going through 5 a.m. in the morning, through and including Sunday.
Steve Brown, a follow-up on the curfew. Steve?
I have an ID. I'm an essential worker. I have an ID. There are a lot of essential workers who don't have IDs. How do they travel safely back and forth to work and be able to identify themselves as an essential worker?
Police are well-trained in dealing with these situations. We've had many instances where we have had to impose driving bans because of snowy weather. So police are used to dealing with this. They will be reasonable. They will be able to determine who's essential and who's not essential. And we have a plan for how to address it.
One more question, George.
Back to the National Guard. You mentioned Governor Cuomo has supplied state police at this point. Are you comfortable enough with the level of police manpower that you have? And would you be opposed to the National Guard being brought in?
We don't believe we need the National Guard. We will have a meeting with our police department leadership, myself, and state law enforcement leadership today to look at additional planning needs. But our number one priority is not to over-police our community, to over-police our city, and at the same time, make sure that people are safe, that property is safe, and that people who are peacefully protesting are safe. But my recommendation is to give it a pause. People do not need to protest every day. The message is out. We get it. We feel it. I can tell the black community that even as a black man who happens to be mayor, or a mayor who happens to be black, I feel the sting and pain of racism every single day myself. I deal with it every single day. Police Commissioner Lockwood talked to you about his experiences and what he feels. So we understand the pain that people feel. We understand the anger that people feel. And it is so far beyond just police brutality. It is in every institution. It is in every system. It is in every part of American society. And some people feel it much more acutely than others. And the COVID-19 global pandemic has everything at a much greater level, at a much more heightened level. And so I am recommending to the good people of this community, do not protest unnecessarily. Your messages have gotten out. Do not protest after dark. And do not let outsiders, do not let opportunists, do not let criminals cloud the message that has been put out, that people want an end to police brutality and people want an end to racial injustice.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.